ABC Radio Australia.
Fiji police have arrested six foreign nationals following multiple joint drug raids across the country. And according to Fiji police, seven are being held in custody, including four Asian nationals, one Palawan and another from the Federated States of Micronesia. Now, large amounts of cash and methamphetamine were seized in the raids. And it's just the latest of many drug busts that have occurred over the past as Fiji struggles to fight a methamphetamine crisis. Well, on the line with us to talk more about the continuing drug problem in Fiji is Skalesi Volandabu, the founder of NGO Fiji Drug Awareness. Aotearoa, Yantara, Skalesi, thank you for joining us.
Yandra. Yes, so thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. I mean, could you just describe, I suppose, the current extent of the meth crisis in Fiji?
Yeah.
You know, is it a crisis as many have described it?
You know what, it's a lot worse on the ground than what we've been hearing. This has been happening since, you know, when I first arrived in Fiji was 2019, and the problem was already there, but everything was, you know, happened on the down low. Nobody spoke about it. Nobody openly wanted to share what was happening. Nobody wanted to raise concern, but there was a few reasons why. We've got this huge culture of oppression, culture of silence, which has been historically been there for a longest time. We had the wrong government in place which suppressed everything that what was happening. So this is not new. I think this is just by far where people are confident enough or assertive enough to actually pick up the phone and say something or stand up. So this crisis is, it has been there for the, you know, for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, it seems arrests of drug dealers, right, and drug raids is becoming a very regular routine for law enforcement in Fiji. So again, do you think the illicit drug trade in Fiji is increasing?
You know, to tell you the honest truth, when we started our work back in 2019, there was, words got, all around in the community on the grassroots. And we knew, the community knew this was happening. Everybody knew which house where the dealings was happening, who were who were the elite, who were those who were running it. But people were scared. They didn't know who to speak to and who do they trust with the police or whoever it may be, law enforcement that would, that or not already in the take, because, as we can see right now, it's not just a Fiji thing. It's like, corruption within the law enforcement is, and all you've got to do is look at what's happening with the narcotics bureau that we have in Fiji. A lot of arrests has happened with those police. I'm not tarnishing that, the great things, the police officers has done, but there are some really rotten apples out there already in the law enforcement. So, we knew there were law enforcement already in the take, and this made it thrive for so long. These trends, transition organized crime that was thriving in Fiji for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. Galesi, look, I know with even your organisation, right, you help meth addicts. I'd love to know, in your conversation with them, how do they become drawn into drug addiction? I mean, is there some sort of story that you've heard or you can tell us about?
It varies. We've been on the ground, been on the streets, been in St. Giles to talk at, with this musician. And I'll give you one a story in particular. He was raised in a single parent home, and it was the mum died, so it was just the dad, and dad worked security. So he was at work at night. So you've got, can you imagine having, 12, 13-year-old boys unattended at home? They're going to be bored. So that's how, this young woman, when I talked to him, it was his older brother that were bringing mates home. And they started to introduce marijuana. From there, they started to escalate. Then he goes to meth, just smoking. Then they went to needles. So it's just this escalation that's happened. That's just a one-off story. And then you have the ones that they just wanted to try it out. Very much peer pressured because of their community. But then, we went into the prisons in Suva, and we sat down one whole week and did this whole drug awareness with a few of them and allowed them to tell their stories. Wow. But they needed to get a hit to do a job. And, you know, as these happen, you know, the more they use, the more they started to, you know, the escalation of their usage. They started poly users. I was shocked of all that we were hearing, thinking it was just one stray drug. They didn't know. They're doing 3-4 different drugs at the same time.
And this is the thing we hear often, right? The severe effects meth causes to the health of our people as well, on literally just family life alone. Again, can you describe like the impacts of this drug?
You know what, as we were seeing the difference, if we look at women, you know, there's a lot of women that were murdered. There was a lot of assaults that was happening in this. You know, I've even sat down and supported and even helped out women that are in crisis. They're in a relationship and their husband is under, you know, when they go into this drug psychosis, they are so aggressive, they get really violent and everything else. So you get the family breakdown in that regard. Then you look at community safety. I mean, we were seeing young people that were doing home invasion just because they needed a hit. They will break into houses to, you know, the break and entering was happening so much just to tell that they've got just to go and get another hit. Then we look at on the road, the death toll just exploded because we were seeing taxi drivers, truck drivers, bus drivers, that they were driving for 2-3 days with no sleep because they were on this gear. So it's just escalated from one to the next. And our system in Fiji never had the capacity to be able to address this. And then you look at the schools. We've got young children now that are 13, 14. They've never, you know, got HIV just from injecting drug, first-time users. So this was crazy. You know, I'm so glad that WHO, University of New South Wales, we went in and did rapid assessment just in Suva alone, just to get the sample of what was really happening with our drug, injecting drugs on the ground. So it was quite scary what we were finding.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Was it like a few months ago, I believe, there was a viral video which a group of young Fijian boys were injecting themselves. Is this then now really a common sight?
You know, it's I'm just so I was shocked when that actually made it into through social media. And the thing is it's one of the one of the big things is social media is huge in Fiji, so everybody was starting to capture these kind of things. That was just one, like that was like, you know, a month long, probably a period of different things were being captured, and it was just putting up on social media, because people would make a call, nothing happens. We've got this tendency of just being lax with everything unless it hits the social media, and everybody, it's like, you know, everything is driven by community standing up together and saying, you know what, we need to do something. Because, you know, when you go and do it the right way, which is quite crazy, nothing happens. There's always these wrecks. Then it hits the media. Then the media gets it. And there's this urgency. Everybody say, oh, no, we need to fix this. And it's like it's more reactive more than anything. There is no understanding of what early intervention is all about.
Well, and this is the thing, Galassi, when you talk about urgency, do you then think authorities are taking sufficient action around this issue?
You know what? I'm so glad now. There is. So finally, we can see so many stakeholders are coming together and saying, you know what, let's put our minds together, let's get some help. The fear that I have is like when you have, you know, don't get me wrong, diplomatic corp, I am all for it, but I don't want a New Zealand, or Australian, method for, you know, for the issues in Fiji. I want them to look at, you know, contextualizing everything for Fiji, not the Western system or Western program or method. Now, the other thing is with law enforcement, they've done a lot of training. There is still so much to do. But at the same time, it's like, you know, there are great people already on the ground. Instead of reinventing the wheel, look at what they've already been doing. Look at, you know, what relationship, what collaborative approaches have been happening on the ground. And I need to shift from, you know, looking at it as law enforcement, hard-handed. Let's look at the soft approach. What are the soft approach? What are the community approaches that we can do? Why don't we enhance that? Why don't we strengthen that and run with it? And the thing is, when we look at our HIV cases in Fiji, 80 or 90% of that are Ilitoke. They are the highest numbers. Are we doing culturally appropriate program for them? Or are we just doing a standard, straight up general program? Because it's not going to work.